What do you mean you weren't perfect? You were an Eagle Scout.
We're not going to get into my Boy Scouting experience.
Okay.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm trying to stay positive. The Empire is getting more and more ruthless. The Rebels seem to be falling behind.
We just need to steal the secret plans, man.
Hopefully we can bring a little joy into people's lives to eat this week.
No, maybe just a little.
Just a little. That's all I ask. Just a little bit of joy.
It's been a shit week, so I don't know how much joy I have. But okay.
Well, we'll see.
You know how I started out my week?
No.
I
can't imagine.
I came into the room that is my studio is the room over the garage.
Okay.
And you come up the stairs from the first floor, mm-hmm. You turn right, and then there's four steps down into the studio. I, first thing Monday, walked in and somehow lost my footing and fell down the four steps and not forward, but on my back and hit every single step on the way down with my back in the same exact spot. And I just kind of laid there for a while because I couldn't breathe. And yeah, it was nice and black and blue. I don't think I broke anything, but
that's
how my week started. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a shit week, so, you know. But yeah. And I don't know how it happened. I've been up and down these steps every day for the last 4 years or however long we've owned this house. I've never even come close to slipping.
Wow.
I somehow just lost my footing. And it was one of those things of like it happened in slow motion and felt every step on the way down.
You were pushed.
I was pushed.
I bet a liberal did it. Had to have been a Democrat. Pushed you down the goddamn stairs.
But
those bastards.
I'm a Democrat.
What?
Huh?
Oh, what? This is over. We're done.
I think anybody who's listened long enough knows that you are a bigger Democrat than I am, so.
Yeah.
Calm down there, buddy. So, yeah. That was how I started my week.
And okay, how are you feeling now?
My back is still a little sore. I woke up the other day with my left leg hurting, and I don't know what that was about. It was one of those things of, like, just, I don't know if I had actually hurt it, and the pain in my back was just keeping me from feeling the pain in my leg.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I'm feeling better now.
Okay.
I was able to actually do, like, yard work and mow the lawn and push the mower without any problem. So, I think I'm okay.
You're not doing this podcast from traction, are you?
No.
You're not in bed?
No.
You know, attached to all these pulleys and levers and stuff?
Nope.
Okay.
And, I mean...
Good.
It's not like...
Well, thoughts and prayers, Chris.
Thank you. Because that's more than I got from the people I live with. So, you know. The reason I laid there for a while is because nobody came to check on me, even though they heard me fall. So, you know, whatever.
Nice. They didn't hear you as you went down each step going, dope, 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 dope.
So my recollection is when I started to fall, I went, hey, hey, hey. And then I hit the first step and I went, fuck. And then I hit the second step, and I went, fuck! And then I hit the third step, and I went, ow! And then I hit the last step, and I went, ugh! And then I kind of hit the ground. And I later when I went downstairs, when I hobbled my way downstairs and I said, did you guys hear me fall? I was told, oh, we heard something, but we didn't know what it was. So you don't come and check on me? Okay.
So love you too, honey.
So I know that if I had fallen forward and broken my neck and just died on the spot, they would have probably waited until the smell hit them downstairs to come.
Oh, God. So haven't seen Dad for a few days.
Yeah.
Wonder where he is.
The kid would be the first one to find me for sure. And, you know, Nobody wants that. So, yeah, good times. But, you know, we're rolling into September. Who knows what September is going to hold for us? There's apparently four storms in the Atlantic that might turn into something. You know, hey, whatever.
I don't know. I just think it's time for the aliens to reveal themselves and go, hey, we've decided this experiment's not working, so we're going to pull a plug.
Something's got to happen because this just keeps getting weirder and weirder and worse and worse.
Yeah.
Are the coronavirus numbers leveling out in Florida, or are they still?
I don't know. I've stopped watching news.
Okay.
I watch a little bit of CNN before bed because, you know, it's what I need to feed the nightmares.
We were on our way down. We were under 1,000 cases a day. We hit 400 cases in a day, and I was like, maybe this is finally over. And the next day, we were back over 1,000. So we're heading back in the wrong direction.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have schools shutting down because they've got multiple corona cases.
Nice.
You know, good stuff.
Yeah, my daughter starts school next week remotely because I wasn't going to send her to the school.
Good for you.
And she's a little upset, but I was just like, look, someday you will understand why I did this.
When you're alive and all of your friends aren't.
Exactly. I mean, the first time that somebody comes to school sick, they're going to shut that school down. Everybody's going to be remote anyway.
Sure.
So what the fuck does it matter?
But it's okay because the kids aren't going to get sick. They're not going to spread this. It's good. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay, you know?
Yeah, so I guess we should talk about the worst thing to happen this week.
The huge hole in the universe?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we found out Friday night that Chadwick Boseman passed away at the age of 43.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who Chadwick Boseman is, he was the actor who played Jackie Robinson and Thurgood Marshall and most notably King T'Challa in Black Panther. And apparently he had been fighting colon cancer for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
While he was making the Marvel movies that everybody has seen during Civil War, during Black Panther and Endgame and Infinity War. And apparently nobody but the higher ups at Marvel knew, because when it came down on Friday that he had passed away, everybody was taken back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 43 is really young, and especially to have the work ethic of continuing to make movies and showing up to work every day and putting on a face to where not even the people that you're working with know.
Right.
Like, that's something that I don't know if I could do. And it's very sad. It's being white and being older. I didn't really understand at the time what he meant to the black community after Black Panther. I think I understand it a little better now.
Okay.
But the hole that this has left, not only in fandom but the MCU on a whole, is staggering and sad, and I don't know. This has affected me more than I figured it would.
The good to come out of this is that it's going to inspire a bunch of young black men to be better, to be a superhero, to make change.
I mean, I think it's going to inspire more than just black people.
Well, sure. But, I mean, let's face it. Little black kids do not have superheroes.
No.
They finally did with Black Panther.
Yes. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's hard to think, like, he was 3 years younger than me.
Yep.
And, you know, you sit there, and you don't, like, I feel bad for his family, and it makes you reflect on your own life. And I don't know. I've been in a funk recently because of the whole coronavirus thing and not having a job. And, you know, at 46, I'm trying to pick my life back up and put it back together. And, like, you see this and this, what this dude was fighting. And it's like, one, my problems aren't really anything to really complain about.
Sure.
But at the same time, I'm like, why am I not doing more with my life? And I think maybe that will be the silver lining for a lot of people out of this, is they're going to look at him and say, wow, he had all this fame and he was doing all these movies and he couldn't stop this. And you have to kind of look at your life and be like, I need to live my life and not so much be as guarded as people have been. I mean, and it's hard because 2020 has sucked royally and we're not allowed to live our lives at this point. But I don't know. It was super sad. Like I said, it affected me more than I ever thought it would. I don't know.
Well said.
And then you see, like, the pictures of him going to visit the kids with terminal cancer while he was sick, and you're like, oh, man.
Yep. Surprising fans. Amazing.
So, Marvel has said, well, Kevin Feige has basically kind of, I don't know if it was in passing or whatever, but I guess the feeling is that they're not going to recast T'Challa.
Good.
Nor should they. I don't think that would be right for the fans. I don't think that would be right for the movies going forward. I think what they end up doing is they somehow write him out of the movie and make his sister Black Panther.
That would make sense.
Then you have another strong black female superhero.
Yep.
That can inspire the young black girls, and also the young black boys. And
sure,
you know, I think that would be the way to go, because Shuri takes over Black Panther in the comic books at some point,
right?
So it's not unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Black Panther 2 was announced, so they've got to be working on it, you know.
Right.
It's amazing how fast the world can change.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was, it's another sucky week of 2020.
But wait, we still have several months left. It can only get better, Chris.
At some point, we're going to hit rock bottom, and then we'll be able to start towards the top. I don't know if we've hit that.
We're not there yet.
Well, every time I think we are, something shitty happens. And it's like, oh no, there's still another layer.
I mean, the band keeps playing, so I'm assuming we're going down.
Yeah. When you start to hear the gurgling, and, you know, that's when we're hitting towards the bottom. So, yeah. So.
Alrighty then.
Yeah. I told you I didn't have much joy this week.
Oh, well. Well, maybe I can bring a little joy.
Okay, hit me.
I've watched some interesting movies this week because I'm getting to that point on my various streaming subscriptions.
Okay.
I watched this movie from, I guess it was from the late 80s, early 90s. It was called Stay Tuned.
Oh, was that John Ritter?
Yes. Okay. 1992.
Okay.
So it starred John Ritter and Pam Dauber, two very well-known movie stars. They did an amazing amount of work. The villain was Jeffrey Jones, who was the father in Beetlejuice, and I believe a known pedophile.
Yeah, he was also in Sleepy Hollow and Ferris Bueller, and he was kind of a staple of 80s movies for sure.
Yes, he was.
I think he was in Howard the Duck too.
I could see that. Also had Eugene Levy,
okay,
and Don Pardo and Captain Lou Albano. Funny little movie. John Ritter is a father who's just spends way too much time watching TV. Pam Dauber is kind of his wife who's got the real job in the family. And one night, very Twilight Zone-esque, he gets a salesman coming to his house who offers him this brand new TV, free in-home trial, no questions asked. So he jumps at it, and the TV ends up sucking him into the TV programming.
Right.
But you soon realize it's not the TV programming we're used to. You see trailers for movies like Three Men and Rosemary's Baby and a game show called You're Not Getting Out of Here Alive.
Nice.
And it's really clever. There's an entire animated sequence where eventually Pam Dauber gets sucked in with him.
Okay.
So they're trying to work their way out of this game show if they can survive for 24 hours or whatever it is. They are they can go back to Earth. So they both are like cartoon mice being chased by a cat and your typical cartoon violence. There's a trailer for a movie where you see a mom and dad driving a car, and then it kind of pans to the back seat and all the children are in Hannibal Lecter masks. And it's for a TV show called Silencer of the Lambs.
Okay.
There's even a Three's Company spoof.
Okay.
They get thrown into a Salt and Pepper video, which I guess would be my definition of hell, would be Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of a wacky, fun little movie. So I would recommend it. If you got nothing to do on a Sunday afternoon,
yeah,
check it out. It's amusing. It didn't win any Oscars. It's not going to change the world. It's just mindless fun.
I mean, it's a product of the early 90s of...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. See, and then from there, we go back a few more years.
Okay, wait, before you go on to that.
Okay.
I always used to get Stay Tuned mixed up. There was an Amazing Stories episode.
Yes. With the one with the kid who gets in the Hitchcock film?
Yeah. So I looked it up while you were talking about it. There's an episode called Remote Control Man.
Oh, no, that's different. Okay.
Okay. So this is a meek, unhappy, and frustrated husband with a nagging wife and incorrigible son finds solace in his new TV set that comes alive with the use of a magic remote control.
Ooh.
So it sounds kind of like...
That's a great idea.
So, but it replaces his family members with characters from TV.
Oh, that could be fun.
And so it's got like the kid that played Chunk from the Goonies in it.
Okay.
At one point, he pushes a button and Dirk Benedict as Face from the A-Team shows up.
Then
Barbara Billingsley shows up as June Cleaver and Gary Coleman shows up as Arnold Jackson.
Oh, fun.
And whenever somebody talks about Stay Tuned, this is what I always think about.
Okay. Well, you're pretty much there.
It's very similar, but I guess Stay Tuned, maybe they saw this because this was in 1985 and said, you know, we should do that as an entire movie.
Hmm.
But I'm sorry, go on.
No, please. So our next trip down memory lane takes us to 1988.
Okay.
And I think this was one of Jeff Goldblum's breakout films, even more so than Buckaroo Banzai Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension.
Okay.
He's starred with a woman who made thousands of movies after this. I mean, she was all over the place. She was a singer too. Maybe you've heard of her, Cyndi Lauper.
Okay.
They play psychics who get lured to Ecuador to find a mysterious city of gold.
Okay.
And it's really horrible.
What's the movie called?
Vibes.
Oh. Okay.
The movie poster had a big picture of Cyndi Lauper and Jeff Goldblum, and they each have a hand up like they're swearing in.
Okay.
And it says, "Put your hands on our hands and feel the vibes." The psychic comedy that's out of its mind.
I didn't even know Cyndi Lauper acted, to be quite honest.
You know, she's not bad in this. She's strangely hot. And she goes from being really hot to really awkward looking. So it's kind of like that episode of Seinfeld.
Good light, bad light?
With the two-face.
Okay. Gotcha.
But they get lured to Ecuador by Peter Falk and his wonky eye. And he says it's his son is missing and they have to go find him. He went off in search of this lost city. And then we find out he's been lying to them. There's another couple of psychics who are on their trail and they're the bad guys. One of them was Julian Sands, who made a lot of bad B movies.
Steve Buscemi's in it?
Steve Buscemi is in it.
Good God.
Yes. Van Dyke Parks. Really, really weird little movie. And the second half takes place in these ruins.
Yeah.
That looks like it's the set from Treasures of the Lost Temple or Secrets of the Lost Temple on Nickelodeon.
Okay.
It's like a styrofoam and cardboard Incan city. You just look, and it's, oh my God, it's horrible looking.
I mean, they can't all be Earth Girls or Easy. I mean, they've got to be.
Oh, you know. I love that movie.
It's funny, though. The IMDb page for Vibes in the cast list, you don't get to Jeff Goldblum until, like, over halfway down, and then Cyndi Lauper is, like, three from the bottom.
Well, I wonder if it's in order of appearance.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Do they not show up for a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's within the first 10 minutes, 5 minutes. But at the beginning, there's this great little scene of Jeff Goldblum's walking to the psychic center where he's going to, you know, take part in some kind of test. And he passes a monkey in a Mets costume.
Okay.
And it just made me think of your wife.
Because she looks like a monkey?
Because she likes Steve Piazza.
Mike Piazza.
Is that his name? Mike Piazza. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. He's a Mets. He's a Met. It's a Mets. Meh.
Meh.
You can't have the Mets without meh. It's just very funny. Very funny. Yeah, it's a horrible movie. You should check it out.
Is Vibes better or worse than Transylvania 65,000? Because that is also a Jeff Goldblum film.
Yeah. Wait, is that the one? No. That's not the one with John Candy and drag, is it? That's Nothing But Trouble.
No, that's Nothing But
Trouble.
Right. That and Chevy Chase.
Yes.
Transylvania 65,000 is Jeff Goldblum and Ed Begley Jr. I think they play like reporters, and they're sent to Transylvania to find
monsters. Yes.
But it is like slapstick in your face, like comedy.
An all-star cast. I mean, Joe Bologna, Carol Kane, Gina Davis,
Jeffrey Jones again.
Norman Fell from Three's Company.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
That is also on Amazon if you have not seen this.
I have.
Okay.
It's been quite a while, so I may have to watch it again. I may have to.
It's on my watch list. I just, every time that I go by it, I'm like, I don't know if I want to devote
watch
an
it.
Hour and a half to this right
no?
now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of bad movies that were made in the 80s.
A lot. Especially mid-80s. Mid-80s was like, they were throwing everything because visual effects and special effects were coming about, and they were like, well, we can do this now.
Well, we can't all be a Meatballs 3, so, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, very bizarre. Very bizarre. Lots of weird stuff on Amazon Prime. I did watch a good movie.
Oh, yeah?
That I very much recommend.
Okay.
1985, Young Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
Produced by Steven Spielberg. Features the first completely animated character on screen done by touchy-feely John Lasseter and the Pixar team.
That was the stained glass night, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Yep.
Written by Chris Columbus, who did a lot of stuff in the 80s. A very fun movie about Egyptian cultists living underground, kidnapping women and embalming them live, and, you know, good stuff, good family stuff. Holmes and Watson become friends at boarding school. Definitely worth checking out.
You know, I will say, though,
and it's a very cool looking movie in the whole Sherlock Holmes genre.
Okay. I will say it's always a little weird that this movie gets gets that reputation of like the first computer generated thing in a live action movie.
Uh-huh.
Only because The Last Starfighter came out the year before, and half of that movie is computer generated visual effects. So
what are you saying?
I understand, like, it's the first hand animated character, and that's important, but that sequence is only a couple minutes long, where you have large set pieces,
an entire film
in the last Starfighter, and portions of it, not just the Gunstar battle at the end, but the Star Car they did and all this other stuff, and nobody ever seems to remember The Last Starfighter. So whenever they talk about visual effects, they always start with Young Sherlock Holmes, and it's like, wait a minute, a year before you had this.
You know, if only somebody would have made like a fan film to capitalize on the popularity of Last Starfighter. Something that maybe picks up a few years later.
Yeah, Last Starfighter,
gosh.
Defender of Earth. Look it up on YouTube. Just saying.
Might be worth checking out. So another movie I saw.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of movies this week.
It seems like it.
And I can't believe I'm not sure why I did not see this sooner.
Okay.
And I think it's because of the name recognition that it's not a very American movie, if that makes sense.
Oh, this should be good. Okay, go ahead.
But I'm talking about The Adventures of Tintin.
Oh, okay.
It was freaking awesome. Directed by Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
Very Indiana Jones, very typical action adventure kind of, what kind of peril are they going to get into next? The animation was great. I mean, now this is 2011, so it's, you know, it's fairly recent.
Okay.
Just really, and the voice cast, very British, but it's Andy Serkis, it's Daniel Craig, it's Nick Frost and Simon Pegg, Cary Elwes, who I forget is not American. So I don't know if it's because it's the, you know, it's like Asterix or Pogo or one of those other European fan favorites that's kind of like a niche market.
Right.
But it was a really good movie. The animation was incredible. The acting by the animated characters, so much subtlety. And the look of the characters, whereas they didn't try to go 100% realism with it, the characters look like they're in very heavy prosthetics. They're very exaggerated and animated, but they've got pores and hair and wrinkles and really cool movies that I don't think a lot of people see.
Yeah, it was one of those that kind of came and went.
Yeah.
And
it should have been a summer blockbuster.
Yeah, but I think the look of it freaked a lot of people out because there is that weird Uncanny Valley thing.
Yeah.
But,
which we now accept.
But
so.
I mean, it was more supposed to be from the books and the, you know, they were trying to keep that style.
Right.
And I think it freaked a lot of people out. Because, you know, they had seen, what was that, the Polar Express.
Well, and this is a notch above Polar Express.
But people got gun shy because of Polar Express. And, you know, they haven't really done anything like this since then. Because like BFG is more animation than they went for realism type thing.
Sure.
But yeah.
I definitely would recommend checking it out.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's a lot of fun, you know, there's plane fights and bar fights and ship fights and the French Foreign Legion and all that stuff.
But it's not American, John.
I know. That's what's bizarre. And I think that's really why I wasn't attracted to it.
Okay.
So I apologize to Steven Spielberg and Peter Jackson.
If you're listening.
Well, you know they are. Come on.
Weren't they going to do a second one? Wasn't there going to be a follow-up to this?
I thought there was. Obviously hasn't been yet.
Well, no. But I could have sworn that they were going to do another one. And maybe it just didn't. Maybe the box office wasn't strong enough or whatever.
Could be.
But,
could be.
Mm-hmm. So I watched, a sequel to a movie from 1985.
Okay.
It's the second sequel in the series called Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Okay.
I wound up buying it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So To rent it was $20. To own it and all the special features is $25.
Okay.
I am a pretty big fan of the first film. I like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. It's okay, but it's not great. So I figured with the reviews that I had read where they said, if you like the first movie, you're going to love this one. Said, okay. Obviously, I'm going to watch it more than once.
But $25, that's a lot. For digital, right? You didn't like buy this in a store.
No.
You can't hold it in your hand.
No, it was digital.
So one good power glitch and you're out $25.
I mean, if that's the worst thing that happens, hey, whatever. But at the same time, it's supporting Hollywood in a time where they kind of need it. So I was okay. If I lose the $25, I lose $25, whatever.
Because, you know, that Keanu Reeves is really hurting, so.
Yeah, but this was not a high-budget film.
Okay.
This was a labor of love by the two stars and the director of Galaxy Quest. Overall, I really enjoyed it. There are nods to the fact that George Carlin isn't there anymore, and he was a huge part of the first two.
Okay.
There are there's new characters. There's characters from the second one. They reference the first one. Like, there's a lot that goes on over the 90 minutes.
Okay.
The only thing that I didn't really like, and I think it's just because I do like the other films, is they rely heavily on Bill and Ted's kids.
Yeah.
And there's kind of an A-B story going on through most of the movie where you're following Bill and Ted trying to write the song, and then you're cutting to the kids. And the kids are basically reliving the first two movies of they feel like they can help their dads by getting a band together. So they go and they get historical figures that were musicians.
Okay.
And then they die and they go to hell. It's all
That's
in
so
the,
clever.
It's all in the trailer, so I'm not really giving anything away. And there was that weird parallel of, like, I've seen those movies. I don't want to relive those movies.
I've been here before.
Yeah, I don't want to relive those movies with new characters. I want to see a Bill and Ted movie where Bill and Ted are trying to figure out their lives or whatever. And it one of the things that I always enjoyed about the Bill and Ted films is that the first and second ones are vastly different. And
sure.
You get the first one where they're traveling through time, and then you get the second one where they're traveling through the afterlife. And in this one, I wanted to see them do something different. And it's a little bit of the same, and I was worried that they were trying to set up a thing where they were going to hand off the Bill and Ted franchise to the girls and let the girls do like a movie that's just them or whatever. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but overall, it's a very enjoyable, family-friendly movie.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that we did in preparation for this was my kid had never seen the second one. So she asked if she could see Bogus Journey, and I did that parent thing where in my head I'm like, okay, they don't really curse. That's like the worst.
Right.
The worst is like the evil Bill and Ted try to kill cats, you know. So I was like, okay, whatever. And then they bring Bill and Ted up to the rock to kill them. And the good Bill and Ted said, we love you. And the evil Bill and Ted's called them fags. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Well, but if you watch it with the kid and you explain to her.
Well, and that's what I did.
You know, I think that's okay.
It's one of those things of like, I grew up with these movies and I'm not offended by any of that stuff. But
you're a mature adult.
Right. But we're living in a time where those words are taboo now.
Sure.
And so when she hears it and she turns and she looks at me, and I was like, look, it's the time it came out. You have to understand, like, they were trying to be edgy. I'm sure that Keanu Reeves doesn't feel that way or whatever. So, right. But it was one of those things. It was like, in my mind, everything is cool. And then they say it twice in the movie.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. At one point they call Satan a fag too.
Okay.
Or something like that. And it was just like, okay.
So the question that's on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
What the hell is up with Keanu Reeves' face? At least it's on my mind.
I'm still... So, one of the things about this movie is that Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter go through a lot of prosthetic makeup.
Okay.
They go to different points in their history, and they're playing themselves at different ages.
Sure.
And there are times in the trailer, there's that scene where they're in prison and they're all
right.
buff. And so there's a lot of prosthetic work in this. And
okay.
I feel like there's that joke that Keanu Reeves doesn't age.
Okay.
That he's a vampire. You can find pictures of him from the 1500s,
sure.
whatever that shit is.
Yeah.
And I think Alex Winter has aged
considerably.
He's aged more visibly than Keanu Reeves has.
Okay.
And I really feel like what you see when they're standing next to each other is them trying to make him look the same age as Alex Winter.
Okay.
I don't really think that that's his face. I really think that he's under prosthetics to give him more wrinkles and to make him give him like a kind of a double chin and make it seem truly as 25 years has passed between the last film. And, you know, Keanu Reeves has had this long career in front of the camera. Alex Winter has had this long career behind the camera. Cause if you've never seen his documentaries, he's done documentaries on the black web and he did one that's on HBO right now about, child actors.
Yep.
And so he's had this long career behind the camera and he hasn't really had to worry about himself. And then when this comes, he's suddenly back in front of the camera and he's like, okay. And then Keanu Reeves has got to kind of look the same because you can't have just Keanu Reeves standing there with Alex Winter. So I feel, and I'd have nothing to back this up, but I feel like he's wearing prosthetics or at least heavy makeup to make him look older.
Okay. So you need to check out the website KeanuIsImmortal.com.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's really freaking uncanny. There are pictures of him at different years where I swear he looks the same. Even the same expression on his face.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, going back to like 1530.
Yeah, I mean, it is very...
It's disturbing. It's really disturbing because, I don't know, maybe he just figured that he got a certain paparazzi pose down and that's what he will always do for photos.
Well, he's also incredibly shy when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
And if you look at that expression on a lot of that faces, that's the take the picture, I really don't want to be here look. I mean, the one on the group of pictures for 1991 is the only one where he's kind of smiling.
He's smirking.
And he's smirking.
Well, in 2017, he's trying to cover his smile.
Yeah.
He's doing the Japanese cover your mouth when you smile thing. Like a little geisha girl.
Yeah. So, I mean...
That's kind of freaky, though. That really is freaky.
He has aged very, very well. And... when you're revisiting these characters, like my wife was like, her comment was that during the film, when he's talking, he's not really opening his mouth. And it's kind of true. He doesn't, Think about his character in the first Bill and Ted movie and how animated he was.
Sure.
Right? So this is 25 years later, and he's not really as animated, although they're doing the same... They're playing the same characters, and they're playing it in the same kind of way. Bill and Ted still aren't the brightest people in the world. They have their wives and their kids and their music, and that's what makes them happy. But when they're talking, he's not as animated, and I really feel like that's part of that, that's part of the makeup of... You know, they went to him and they said, look, we know you can't cut your hair. Like, they can't make him look completely different. He had long hair in the other ones. But because right. of Matrix and John Wick, the only thing he could do is shave his beard. Because right. he can't be John Wick and Bill and Ted. So I really feel like that was the compromise. And then when they shave him... He shaved his face, and then he looks younger, because you always look younger after you shave.
Yeah.
So they were like, holy shit, well, now what are we going to do? So, you know, with all the prosthetics that they were going to do anyway, maybe they were just like, well, kind of make him look older.
Now, here's the weird thing.
Yeah.
So one of the people in history that supposedly Keanu looks like was a 19th century, that would be the 1800s kids, medical doctor and actor by the name of Paul Mounet, M-O-U-N-E-T. And the likeness is uncanny. Okay. So a guy died in 1922 due to heart disease.
Uh-huh.
However, allegedly, he didn't die. And because he was so well known in medical circles, he was able to hide his death. They never found a body.
Okay.
And now we have Keanu Reeves making a movie.
So
that just explains it right there.
So it is funny. Somebody changed the Wikipedia entry for Paul Mounet to he currently acts under the pseudonym of Keanu Reeves. The source of his eternal youth is not known.
Nice.
I mean, it's interesting, and he's such a down-to-earth dude. Did you ever see the interview that he did with Stephen Colbert? Where Stephen Colbert asked him, because I don't know what the initial interview was about, but they were talking about people dying, and he and Colbert said to him, "Hey, what do you think happens after you die?" Maybe they were talking about him being immortal. I don't know. But his response was, the only thing that I know for sure is that the people that you leave behind will miss you and be sad. And it's like, that's where the dude's mind is. Like, there's all those videos of him giving up his seat on the subway, the fact that he takes the subway to work and not
right.
some fancy car. Like, the dude is the most down-to-earth dude that is ever going to walk this earth and be famous.
Yeah.
And he's had a bunch of tragedy in his life. He lost a pregnant girlfriend in a car wreck or something.
Oh, I thought like they were at Disney World or something.
No. Turned around, she was gone.
I can't find her. She was on Splash Mountain, the bitch.
his sister had cancer or something, and he paid for all the medical treatments. He has given up most of his salary on... movies so that the crew can get paid more. Like, the dude is just a huge stand-up guy, and you know, he has been able to age gracefully because of it, so you know, good for him.
Yay.
So I would recommend that if you've seen and liked the first Bill and Ted movie, that you definitely should see the third one.
Okay.
And whether you're going to rent it or buy it or whatever, because to rent it is $20, to own it was $25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said,
okay.
I have a hard time. I would have a harder time just giving them $20.
And not owning it?
Not being able to watch it later on.
Okay.
And normally on Vudu, the movies are $20 for the first year, year and a half anyway. Okay. So I was like, I'm only up $5 from that, so why not?
All right.
But yeah.
Have you pulled the trigger on Mulan yet?
No, that's not what I'm gonna do.
No?
$30?
You're gonna stick it out until December and watch it like a cheapskate? Like I will?
Look, I have already given Disney Plus 3 years payment in advance.
You've given them 2 years payment in advance.
Two years. I'm getting a third for free.
Okay. That's right.
Whatever. I've paid enough money so that I can watch Disney Plus whenever I want for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe they should look at who's done that.
Okay.
And say, you get to watch Mulan for free and not have to pay the $30 and not wait till December. That's just me.
Well, I mean, you know, and it's possible they could do that. I mean, they do know that it's you tuning in.
Right.
You know, you've got to log into your account so they can show who's on a freebie and who's on a year to year. And,
yep.
You know, oh, we got money up front from this guy to, you know, to help our bottom line. Well, we should give him something for free.
I mean, look, at this point, I would just be happy with a Mandalorian season 2 trailer instead of Mulan.
Yeah.
But, you know, who am I? Yeah, $30 for a movie that I have no interest in seeing just doesn't interest me.
Not even for the kid? What about the kids?
I don't think my kid likes the animated Mulan, to be quite honest.
Is she a racist?
No, she's not a racist.
What kind of kid are you raising?
And I can prove it because she loves a Princess and the Frog. So there, she's not racist.
Okay. It's because she wants to be Charlotte.
Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not something like I can count on one hand how many of the live action Disney remakes I've seen. And it's not many. I haven't seen Jungle Book. I didn't see Lion King. I honestly think the only one that I've seen is the Maleficent movie, and that's not even really a remake.
I don't think I've seen any of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point. It's my memories of those movies are the animated ones.
Sure. So while we're on this subject,
yeah,
it was announced that Disney is working on a new Haunted Mansion movie.
I heard that, but I didn't read the specifics. Is it going to be another Eddie Murphy thing?
I hope not.
Or are they actually going to try to make a scary movie?
I don't know.
Because honestly, if anybody out there has ever like done any research into the actual storyline,
yep,
of the Haunted Mansion, it's a little creepy.
And, oh, it's incredibly creepy.
You know, the first thing, if you've never been on the ride, the first thing they do is they put you in this room that stretches, and while they talk to you, all of a sudden the lights go out, and above you is a dude hanging himself.
Yeah.
Which, from what I understand, now doesn't play into the story. Like, it's just there, but it's not like...
No, because now the story is all about the bride.
Right.
And how the bride killed all of her husbands.
Right.
Originally, it was about a sea captain and his bride. And the bride, the sea captain, was kind of like Blackbeard. He married this beautiful woman, told her you can go anywhere in the house except for the room in the attic. And she breaks into the room in the attic, and then he ends up, you know, she finds out that he's been killing his wives. But it's bizarre how... Are we running out of themes for movies, or is this a good thing? Because somebody brought up that, you know, well, now that we've got, you know, The Rock is starring in Jungle Cruise with Emily Blunt, and it's like, yeah, but that kind of looks cool. And then you hear, well, there's another Haunted Mansion movie. It's like, well, I liked the way the movie looked. I liked all the homages to the attraction. I just saw no reason for Eddie Murphy to be in that movie. And they're like, well, you know, there can always be another Country Bears movie. And I kind of liked the Country Bears movie, 2002. It was just stupid funny with these big animatronic bear costumes. And again, an all-star cast. Haley Joel Osment, Diedrich Bader, Brad Garrett, Stephen Root, Christopher Walken, Stephen Tobolowsky, MC Gainey. I mean, come on. A-list talent here. Queen Latifah?
So one of the things...
Queen freaking Latifah.
Yeah, I know. One of the things that I think they've tried, that Disney has tried to do, is they went on that thing with Pirates of the Caribbean where they started to make movies based on the attractions. And
sure.
Pirates of the Caribbean should not have worked. The reason Pirates works is because of Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
And they had homages to the ride, but they told their own story.
Right. It wasn't based on the story of the ride.
Right. And
it was based on its own mythology that takes place within the same universe that the ride does.
There was no Captain Jack Sparrow in the ride before.
There is now.
There is now, but there wasn't before. When it opened in 1955, there was no Jack Sparrow in the thing. So
that's right.
One of the things that I look at for that, like the Jungle Cruise movie, is if you watch that trailer, there's a lot of stuff. There's homages to the ride, the backside of water, and all that kind of shit. But yep. It looks like they're going to move past that very, very quickly. And
it's a jumping off point.
Yes.
It's not the end all be all. It's
yes.
not. We're telling the story of the Jungle Cruise, and you know, here's Schweitzer Falls, and here's the Sacred Elephant bathing pool, and here's Trader Sam.
Right.
Those are an inspiration, but that's not what this whole thing was about. And that's kind of what the Country Bears movie was. It was an inspiration for it, and it was kind of like a trying to get the band back together movie.
Right. And
it may be incredibly disturbing if I were to watch it again, but now I'm kind of thinking that I probably should.
I mean, hey, if you got the time.
I got nothing but time, baby.
The problem with the Haunted Mansion movie in 2003 was that instead of trying to build a story, it was how many jokes could Eddie Murphy do?
Right. Because, how many double takes?
Because it wasn't a Haunted Mansion movie, it was an Eddie Murphy movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the problem has always lied with that.
So was Pirates of the Caribbean a Johnny Depp movie?
No, because at the time, Pirates turned Johnny Depp into a bona fide, like, action star. He wasn't an action guy yeah. before that.
No.
And
what was he before that?
He was kind of an oddball actor. He'd done like Crybaby okay. and Edward Scissorhands, and kind of off the wall characters. And this was the real first like action adventure movie that he did.
Okay.
You know, whether or not you want to argue the real time movie he did where he's got to save his daughter or whatever.
Yes.
Whether that's action.
24?
No. Whether that's an action movie or not, whatever. But he wasn't the household name he was until Pirates of the Caribbean. And it was him embracing the character of Jack Sparrow to the point where it worked because of it and not in spite of who he was. And when you look at that cast, the only one that was really known before that was
Orlando Bloom.
Well, Jeffrey Rush was probably the biggest name in that cast before. With Orlando
yeah.
Bloom coming out of Lord of the Rings, but in a very similar character. Like, it was a period piece and, you know, swashbuckler dude with swords, whatever. He wasn't going to be the draw. And I think Johnny Depp had enough backing to where Disney felt he could be the draw, and Jeffrey Rush was like the actor that was going to be in it.
Okay.
And I remember having conversations, might have been with you, back at the time, of like, that's never going to work. There's no way that's going to look cool. Like, it's a friggin' ride. Like, how are they going to turn that into a movie?
That's right.
And then they started to show the concept art of the pirates, the dead pirates on the bottom of the ocean, half in the moonlight and half out of it.
Yep.
And it was like, well, okay, that kind of looks cool, but can they do that?
Right.
And then when you watch the movie and you were like, okay, this has a mixture of comedy, action, adventure, and kind of horror, and it worked, you were like, wow, okay. But at the same time, it wasn't based on the ride. It was just the name that they were tying in, that they could say, hey, we have this attraction, and later on they could be like, hey, we made a movie that's called Pirates of the Caribbean. Come check it out.
Right.
But, yeah.
So do you think if Haunted Mansion had been a bigger hit, we'd have an Eddie Murphy animatronic? Or would it be as lame as the Ellen animatronic?
Oh.
Which apparently just harasses the guests.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
I don't see them making multiple Haunted Mansion movies.
No?
No.
Well, obviously they are. They're making a second one.
Well, but you know what I mean. Like.
You don't see it being a successful series like Pirates was?
No.
Is? Okay.
No, because if they couldn't make... Well, I take that back, because they did make multiple Caspers, didn't they? They just were like straight to video.
Did they?
Wasn't there more than one Casper movie?
I don't think so, unless it was... I don't think there was a second one based on the movie.
Casper Spirited Beginning? Yeah.
Oh, but that was direct to video, wasn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like Casper should have been a trilogy or something.
Okay.
They totally could have gone... I mean, okay. Casper, A Spirited Beginning has Steve Guttenberg, Lori Loughlin, Rodney Dangerfield, Michael McKean,
Richard Mall,
Sherman Hemsley.
Sherman Hemsley.
Like, wow.
Okay. Oh, but it's got Casper Van Dien. Come on.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were definitely...
James Earl Jones.
Direct to DVD or whatever sequels to that. But I remember when that came out in the movie theater, I was working as a projectionist, and that movie, that first movie did really well. Like, sold out on multiple occasions. And it was...
You know what was the best part of that movie?
I'm trying to think of his name. Why am I blanking? Dan Aykroyd's cameo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As his character from Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Running scared from the house.
Yep. Who are you going to call?
But it also Somebody had else. Clint Eastwood, Mel Gibson.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it was a decent movie too. It was fun.
It was. It really was. It was another one of those movies in the 80s vein, kind of like, you know, 80s, 90s, Last Action Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember down in Florida here at Universal Studios, they had a walkthrough of the Casper set.
Yeah, and then it ended up on their boneyard.
Really, Yes.
Yeah.
The Casper set was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the style of it.
Yeah, it was very kind of like steampunkish. So yeah.
Yeah.
Like the laboratory and stuff.
Yes.
So I mean, that should have worked and that didn't. So I don't really see a Haunted Mansion movie in that vein either. Or a group of Haunted Mansion movies.
Okay.
Because I don't think the story is there. I mean, you tell the history of Madame Leota.
No, I think you need to take it as a jumping off point. But she's not the major character.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like picking one of the ghosts in the graveyard and saying, hey, it's a movie about the opera singer. It's like, yeah, that's not worth an hour and a half of my time.
No. But, I mean, I hope they can make a good movie out of it. But, again, at some point, I think Disney could turn around and make original movies that are just as good as what they have lying around in the theme park.
Sure.
I mean, the talent is out there to write it, direct it, make it. I think they want more brand recognition than...
Well, I think that's it. I think it's how do you push your IP to a new generation?
I don't know. I mean, Haunted Mansion is a weird point for that.
Well, it is, and it's kind of a niche market.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a princess movie. It's not an adventure movie. It's, you know, it's... kind of an odd pull.
I would have mad props for Disney. What's the new guy's name? Not Iger. Who's the guy that's taking over?
Chapek? Bob Chapek.
Chapek.
Yeah, I don't have any faith in him.
Well, I would have mad props for that dude if he came out and said Haunted Mansion's going to be a straight up rated R horror film. I know it's not going to happen, but if they were just to lean into it and tell the story of the dude that's killing his wives in the attic.
Sure.
And the one's got to get away from him. And like, you know, she's got to kill or be killed type thing. I would have mad props for Disney being like, we're going in a new direction. Like, here's IP for the other half. You know, as the kids get older and they age out of the princess crap. And they're not really interested in Pirates of the Caribbean, but they're getting interested at Halloween about like The Shining and Halloween and Friday the 13th. We're going to go toe to toe with the horror films. Like that would,
okay.
That under a Disney banner, not Hollywood Pictures, not.
Yeah. See, that's the hard thing though, is how do you take the family friendly image and do something that's not family friendly. I mean, that's what Touchstone was all about.
I know. And that's why
Touchstone
I said it's
never
going to
happen. Touchstone was those PG-13 movies and that, you know, we couldn't do under the guise of a Disney movie.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think a comedic or whatever version of Haunted Mansion will work.
Okay.
I think they're just going to spin their wheels and be like, I don't understand. How come nobody went to go see that film?
But think of the merchandise, Chris. The tie-ins. The Happy Meals. Come on.
Yeah.
No?
No.
All right.
Nope.
Party pooper.
No. I feel like I have a better pulse. A finger
better
on the,
finger on the pulse?
A better finger on the pulse of what a movie-going audience would want to see than people that are blinded by we got to make our IP work.
Okay.
I think if you're too close to it, you can't see the forest from the trees. Like,
oh well, that's definitely
like, and I think Disney and Lucasfilm and all those people are blinded by that kind of stuff. You know, Kathleen Kennedy isn't trying to make the best Star Wars. She's trying to promote female directors and female actors. And I understand that's important in the grand scheme of things. But you can't just let Star Wars be about that.
Right.
You have to encompass everybody.
Sure.
Give female directors a shot at making TV shows or movies under the Star Wars banner, and that's mm-hmm. great, but don't lock it into that. And it seems like that's where she's heading. I don't think that's going to work either. But
well, and now she said we're taking a step back from Star Wars to reassess.
But they already did that. They yeah. did that after Solo. They said, oh, we're pulling everything back. You're going to get The Mandalorian. And then they started adding all those TV shows. And
yep.
weekly Star Wars is good. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
If it's at the same caliber as The Mandalorian, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when you look at what they're able to do with The Mandalorian, and then you look at The Last Jedi, and you're like, there's a disconnect in that company
yeah.
somewhere. Like, I don't see how reassessing Star Wars, especially in a company that umbrellas Marvel, where they're making multiple films a year that work. It doesn't compute to me, and I don't know. She's saying that she can't do multiple features in a year when...
Why can't she?
And that's the point. Marvel is doing multiple movies. If she doesn't have that vision, then go have lunch with Kevin Feige and say, how do you do this?
Sure.
Like, let me in on the secret of how you can have this all come together after 19 movies to make sense. Like, we're not even asking for 19 movies of Star Wars to make sense. You just want a Star Wars movie that's good. You know, you don't want...
Yeah, definitely.
You don't want her stepping in and firing directors and bringing in people to re-edit movies. And, like, just let the filmmakers make their film. And, you know...
If only that were possible.
I know. But it can be done. And there's been all that talk about at Marvel, the directors don't really finish their films. That it's Kevin Feige who is there during post-production to kind of guide them to the vision.
Sure.
But if that's mm-hmm. what works for them, then that's fine.
Sure.
Maybe she just doesn't want to do it. Maybe she's reached that point in her career where she's like, look, I want other people to handle it until there's a problem. But you can't do that. So, I don't know. It's Hollywood's a mess. Star Wars is a mess. Disney's a mess.
The world's a mess, Chris.
I know.
Welcome to the mess.
The only one that was making headway was Marvel, and now they have to reassess what they're doing with characters. Jesus.
Yeah.
But you know what? One thing this week has really pissed me off.
What's that?
Before we go. Do you go on YouTube a lot?
Yes.
Have you Daily. Seen the god-awful Fred Armisen Google commercials?
No.
Oh, my God. I don't know why I'm getting sucked in, like why it's always playing in front of these videos that I'm watching.
Yeah.
But he's playing this dude where his son's asking him what's the highest mountain in the world, and he's got to go ask Google. And then there's another, there's like 8 or 9 of these things.
Okay.
And there's one where he's locked out of the house and he makes a phone call and he's talking to another version of himself.
Okay.
That won't let him in the house. Like, it's really fucked up and it's super annoying.
Oh.
And again, I don't know why I'm getting roped into all this shit. I get the weirdest shit on my YouTube and I don't know why.
Bizarre.
Yeah. I just had to get that off my chest. You know, whatever. That was on my list. I didn't even talk about it.
Well, good. Glad you got that off your chest.
Yep.
What else you got?
Oh, that's it.
That's it?
Yep. You have anything else?
Oh.
No?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
I mean, we covered a lot.
We did.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Vote.
You surprised me.
I know, didn't I?